teach your kids to swim. It's an adage that's taken a while to become gospel, but fair to say more and more of us, especially here on the Gold Coast, are pretty wise for obvious reasons to getting the littlies skilled up in the water. But are we teaching our toddlers the right way? Well, not necessarily, says Karen Baildon from Superfish Swim Schools. She will challenge conventional wisdoms at a World Aquatic Conference in Sweden in January, focusing particularly on fast-tracking the skills of kids under 3 years of age. You'd reckon she'd be in a good spot to have a view about all of this, well-studied as a coach herself, daughter of the great Michael Wendon, wife to Andrew Baildon, Olympic swimmer as well. Karen, hello to you.
Hello. Hi, thank you for having me.
Lovely to have you here. Are we getting better at understanding the importance of early learning in and around the water?
Look, I think that the education process has been enormous in the last few years in Australia, and more people are learning the importance of getting their children taught to swim and getting them to taught to swim as early as possible, and we know that.
So that's the good thing.
Yes, but I think it can be done better.
Yes.
That's
we'll get to all of this. We're talking about the sort of 0 to 4 toddler age bracket, and you refer to it as a hot spot.
Yes.
Why?
Because they're our most vulnerable. They have the highest drowning rates out of all children, is that 0 to 4 age group. Particularly, and this is the area that I particularly want to concentrate on, is the 18-month-old to 3-year-old age bracket. It is by far our highest drowning rates, both fatal and non-fatal drowning rates.
By some margin.
By some margin. And all of those statistics are on the Royal Life webpage. But it's a really, really scary thing, not only when we look at the amount of fatalities in that age group, but the amount of, it's about 5 times the amount of, and that's hundreds of children across Australia that end up with a non-fatal drowning that normally ends up in a permanent brain injury. So, and that's really, really scary, and that's why I sort of think we need to be looking at that age group particularly and just challenging the way that we've been teaching for that age group with lots of songs and games and how much time in that half an hour lesson are we spending on constructive drowning prevention skills.
Let's compare and contrast. You talk about singing and clapping your hands and splashing in the water and all that. I know my kids' introduction to
all
water,
very important parts of an introduction into the water. We all know that children of that age group love singing and playing, and it makes them feel very comfortable in the water. But what I want to really look at is how much time in a half an hour lesson is actually being dedicated to that rather than the drowning prevention skills.
Okay. You speak fairly comprehensively and very strongly about teaching kids independence, that save yourself kind of mentality, if you like, which sounds a very big concept when you're talking about very little people.
That's right.
Let's define it. Okay. What is independence for a 0 to 3-year-old swimmer?
I think we need to identify a measure of what it takes to actually have a child of that age group with really high independence and drowning prevention skills. Things like learning how to float independently on their back, being able to fall in and swim back to a wall, being able to fall into a pool and roll over on their back and float, learning how to tread water, all of those life-saving skills that really do need to be established before swimming skills need to be, we still do kicking and we still do paddling and all of those things, and we still do songs and games, but just that focus on those drowning prevention skills needs to be highlighted.
You'll be delighted to hear that my kids learnt to swim under the watchful eye, not necessarily of your dad Michael, but of his underlings at the Palm Beach pool there many, many years ago.
Excellent.
Now.
Yep.
But I do recall and thinking, wow, isn't that interesting, about sitting on the side of the pool, literally rolling forward into the pool mm-hmm. and kind of impressing upon those kids to turn around, scramble for the wall and pull yourselves up, you know, monkey along the wall, kind of thing. These are the sort of skills that you're talking about now.
Yeah. And also when you look at, it's really quite frightening when you do have a look at a lot of the modern backyard pool designs as well, that the toddlers, if they fell into a pool, they don't always have a lip or a side of the pool that they can reach up onto. A lot of times they might be on a higher side of the pool, and we teach them things like how to push off the wall and float on their back, and anything that's going to, if they can't get back to the side, what else can they do? And we need to make that almost like a reflex for these children that at that age group don't have a developed muscle memory, and we need to reinforce things over and over and over and again with them, and do it so we're not affecting development, and you know that they're happy and healthy in the water as well.
This is an interesting thing. Karen Baildon is with me from Superfish Swim Schools, obviously a significant name, a maiden name or married name, take your pick, a significant name in the world of swimming here on the Gold Coast. Talking about whether or not we're teaching particularly young kids, 0 to 4-year-olds, toddlers, the right way to learn to swim and whether we've got our priorities right. The way things are at the moment, is there, I mean, I mentioned it in the introduction as a conventional wisdom, is there a conventional wisdom among swimming instructors who teach kids of this age, let's call it introductory swimming lessons and techniques, is there a conventional wisdom that's sort of got a little bit out of whack? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, I do think so. I think sometimes it's really important for learn to swim educators to have more of an urgency about what they're teaching. And they really are teaching a life-saving skill if it's taught correctly. And I think it's very, very important for them to, you know, to realise that what they are teaching has to have a degree of urgency, and they're not just coming along for a half an hour swimming lesson per week. I talk a lot about real swimming time, and that's the real time that that child is exposed to the water. And if they're coming for one half an hour learn to swim lesson per week, that child is actually exposed to the water for 2 hours per month. And in a 12-month period, when we take into consideration holidays and sickness and all of those things, it's under 20 hours a year. Now, I liken that to teaching a 5-year-old how to read and write at school, and we would never expect that in 20 hours or less than a week of school. So they are really clever when we think about our toddlers and what they can actually do in the water.
We're always referring to them as sponges,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite remarkable how quickly that they learn. But to get that age group between that 18-month and 3-year-old age group to have these really high drowning prevention skills, we almost need to fast-track it. We need to look at all sorts of different ways to increase their exposure in the pool, giving parents homework tips and what things they can do at home, going to local pools outside of lessons to practice those skills and reinforce those skills. And all of, you know, there's a number of different things to fast-track a drowning prevention program for that age group of child.
Karen Baildon is with me. In terms of a child's cognitive development, are young kids adequately mentally equipped to take on the import of what you're trying to impose upon them?
Yes and no. And again, it's very important for learn to swim educators to do it without detrimentally affecting their development. You still want them to be happy in the pool.
Not scared of it.
Not scared of the pool. So anything that's forceful, anything where we have a no tears policy, and I think that's very important to instill in learn to swim instructors, is that you're not going to get anything out of an 18-month-old baby if they're not happy doing it and they're uncomfortable in the water. So yes and no to answer your question. I do think that with their muscle memory, and you know, a lot of times we have swimmers that in that age group that come in for a summer program, and the parents are really surprised that they've lost some skills. But if they have the winter off and come back, and you know, the next summer, and it's like, well, they haven't you know, a two-year-old child does not have a developed muscle memory there. They need that constant reinforcement of those skills, and that is a year-round thing.
And it's about reinforcing the right skills
at
the right time. Tell us about this big shebang in Sweden that you're off to, the World Aquatic Conference. It sounds very, very impressive.
Yes, the World Aquatic Development Conference. There's a coaching arm for the coaching side of things, and then there's the Learn to Swim arm, and I'll be speaking at the Learn to Swim. So thank you.
Yeah, enjoy
thank
it.
You. I'm really looking forward to it.
A passionate advocate of all things aquatic. Lovely to have you in.
Thank
and
you so
probably a good time as we approach into summer for perhaps people to
start
to think about whether their kids are learning the right way and if there is a better way too.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.